Hi, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for stopping by. You're going to hear some of the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii with a little bit of Scotland thrown in as much as I can possibly manage it. If you want to find out more about what we do and our work with restaurants, then please go to our website, mojomagari.com, or you can listen to archived podcasts at Radio Mojo Hawaii or mojomagari.com. Thanks for being with us. Today's episode is brought to us by Pieology Pizzeria. Enjoy. Hey, welcome to another Radio Mojo. This morning, I'm at the Little Chart Room with the chef owner, Roberta Homa-Karen. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
So nice to see you. And I'm especially happy to see you this morning because I know you're in the middle of some very big and very busy things going on with the restaurant.
Yes, we're moving sites in about 2 months' time, moving to a slightly bigger site, which will really just allow us to push the food forward and just make the actual working sort of flow of the day so much better for the team. And also the room itself will be a lot more relaxing and sort of comforting for the guests themselves.
Now, to paint a proper picture for people who are listening, the Little Chart Room is very well named because it is, in fact, very small. Just describe the restaurant for people who have not been.
Of course. I mean, it is very, very small. We only have, with current sort of climates, we only have 14 seats, four of which are at a bar countertop, which overlooks where the starters and the desserts get plated. And then there's the 10 seats in the room. And I have a very tiny kitchen with one oven, six gas burners, and there's not even enough space for us to have a kitchen porter in. So I have a tiny team of now four chefs, actually. But we do everything. We obviously cook, but we clean. We take orders, make drinks. We very much are one full team that does everything. And the sort of style of the restaurant is, or the kind of ambience and sort of atmosphere and that we want to create when people come to dine here is that you're sort of coming into a friend's house, because it's relaxed and it's friendly and you get great service and you're eating fantastic food, but you're it's not fussy and you're not overserved, if that makes sense.
Was the idea to have the restaurant so small something that came about because you just wanted a tiny restaurant, or was it more opportunity? You saw the opportunity to open this restaurant and it happened to be very small.
The idea was that we wanted it to be small. I opened the restaurant with my husband, Sean. He manages all the front house. So yeah, from the get-go, we really wanted a tiny little place where we had a small team, because we wanted to sort of, just keep everything quite sort of close-knit and keep costs down as well. And just didn't want to sort of make a big step and open up a bigger, massive restaurant. But it was really about keeping that intimate, friendly, relaxed sort of style of service that we wanted to provide.
It's quite forward thinking in a way, because we are sort of hopefully post-pandemic, but there are many restaurants now that will never again be big restaurants. People, I think, are looking for truly a small, intimate experience. They want to go into a restaurant and feel that the chef who's cooking for them really is doing it from a sense of place, right? So I think that if there's one thing that the pandemic has shown us, is that we do want to eat in a slightly different way. It seems to me that you were ahead of that game in your way of thinking.
There was no pandemic in thought, obviously. But the idea, it was we wanted to create a place that we would love to go and eat in. Mm-hmm. That was really just the core thought. And we'd been to maybe a few small places already and had a really good idea in our head. And we visited a few different sites and looked at a few different places. They were all sort of 40, 50 covers, and it was always a no. And then a friend of ours, actually, who works in commercial real estate, I think he sent this through to us as a joke, because, I mean, we had to do quite a lot of work to it. And it is tiny. But we came and visited it, and I think we were here for 5 minutes. And then we walked out, and we're rushing up the road, because both of us were going off to go and do something else. And we just looked at each other and said, That's it. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. And it was from that point, it took a wee while, because we had to do a few changes, but it was such a great feeling. I think a lot of people feel the same when they're buying a house or other people that are buying restaurants. You just know.
Or indeed when you're finding a career, because wasn't that a little bit how you started in the culinary world? I mean, you didn't grow up thinking, oh, I'm going to be a chef. At 16, you got a job in a restaurant and you went, oh, this is great.
Yeah, exactly. I always loved food, loved cooking. I think home economics was one of my favourite courses in school. And I remember chatting to my parents when I had an opportunity to go into work experience. And they said, you love cooking. That's always been your main focus. So why don't we write some restaurants and see if you can go do some work experience. And I think I was about four or five different restaurants, but only one got back to me. And that was the Tower Restaurant, which unfortunately didn't make it through the pandemic. But I think I had a good long-standing time. And yeah, so I went there and just loved it. And I haven't looked back. They were great. They took me on. They showed me so much. They also offered me a part-time job whilst I finished school. And then after I finished school, I went full-time there for a year. And I'm still in contact, actually, with my head chef from that time. So yeah, it was amazing. And like I say, I just didn't look back. And yeah, I was quite determined to move on and just learn more. And yeah, I mean, every day we're still learning. It's a fantastic job for that.
At that point, did you already have a real appreciation of Scottish food and Scottish culture? And did you know, if I am going to continue in this, I want to be somebody who's a proponent of, you know, the food that's around me? Or is that something that sort of happens organically as you worked your way through the top kitchens that you ended up working in?
I would say it was more organically as I worked my way through the top kitchens. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm aware of, you know, it's that thing when you grow up in Scotland, you kind of have all this stuff and you don't really, in many ways, you kind of take it for granted.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, there's such a lack of education with food as well in this country, where
it's
where.
It's a real dichotomy, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've got this incredible bounty of food here.
Yeah.
We've got this incredible ocean. We just have stunning food.
Yeah.
And then we have people who are just eating, I mean, just rubbish, right?
We
have a lot of rubbish in the supermarkets.
Yeah. And I think there's always that kind of the thought of, well, what's your traditional food in Scotland? Mm-hmm. Oh, is it a deep fried Mars bar?
Right.
Yeah, you know, and it's just like, no, we've got so much more to offer than that. So yeah, no, it very much happened organically. And as I moved my way, and really a few kitchens I worked in where the chefs were very passionate about being Scottish and their heritage. And really, like I say, just what we have on offer. And with Scotland being so small, you don't have to travel that far to get to all of this stuff. And that's, I think that's the beauty of this country. So yeah.
And you don't have to travel very far either to find different. I mean, I love the fact that you go an hour away in any direction in Scotland and people's accents have changed.
Yeah.
Their food, their local food is slightly different. They're eating stuff, and the further up north you go, you're eating completely different food. But as you say, it is a strange thing because we are known for also sort of fish and chips and Mars bars.
It's frustrating. Yeah, I sort of feel that. I think there's such a great focus on restaurants and food in Scotland now, and I think Glasgow's really changing as well with Lorna getting a star. And Graham Cheevers, he's just opened up, and Kilbrook. Oh, sorry, I've already mentioned Kilbrook. I'm actually going through to Glasgow today to go and eat at Bar Brett, which is Kilbrook's sort of more casual sister restaurant.
Cool.
There's just so much exciting things happening in Glasgow and in Edinburgh too. We've got so many new openings. Myself.
Yes, yourself. Let's get to that in a moment.
Sorry.
What I'd love to do is just chat a little bit about, you know, you are so known for celebrating seasonal Scottish produce, and it's lovely. And I think anyone who's listening to the show, you know, who may have seen the Netflix series, you know, The Great British Menu, you know, it was a really good introduction for a lot of people to see you and how passionate you and your co-chefs are about food in Scotland. I'd love you to give us an idea right now of what's on the menu. It's summer. You've just got a lovely summer menu that's come out. Give us an idea of who you are through your menu.
So again, with the restaurant, the menu is really small. We just offer three starters, three mains, and two desserts and one cheese. One of the reasons behind that is because we have very small lack of storage. But the main reason behind it is the menu changes a lot. So every sort of maybe 2 to 3 weeks, we'll change about three or four dishes. And the idea behind that is because there's so many things coming into season. And it's just such a lovely way to be able to showcase everything that's coming in. And we have such an amazing guest following. So they're coming back, and every time they come back, the menu's changing. They're getting something different. And we're always pushing ourselves. And yeah, the team are just, yeah, I mean, I have an amazing team. And they're so excited to, when something new comes in, they'll say, oh, this is coming to season. Can we make a dish? Can we put it on? Yeah, of course we can. And the great thing is that the majority of it is just down the road, or, you know, not too far away. Right now, I'm changing a few dishes next week. I mean, one dish that we've just put on is some mackerel with gooseberries. And the gooseberries, they might be English and maybe not Scottish, but they, or maybe they're Scottish, sorry. Edit that bit out. But the mackerel is very much Scottish.
Yeah.
I have a fantastic fishmonger who caught Welch's, which are just based down in New Haven.
Yeah.
And I mean, everything they get is either from Eyemouth, or they'll go up to Peterborough.
Uh-huh.
And no, Peterhead. Again, I always get these two wrong.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, I got your name wrong.
They're amazing. They, like I say, they're literally just at New Haven, which is 10 minutes in the car down the road. And it's a fairly simple dish. We're taking the mackerels, filleting them down, and we're actually lining them with some raw gooseberries and then putting another fillet on top and then cling filming it together so that it sets together and it's getting cured slightly. So it is, it's a raw, a cooled raw served dish, but it has been slightly cured. Serving it with, traditionally, the dressing would be called ajo blanco, which is an almond gazpacho. But we've decided, we've done something slightly different. We've used sunflower seeds instead of almonds and made a sunflower seed blanco, which is just so refreshing and sharp and delicious with the lovely, beautiful mackerel. And then serving it with some pickled gooseberries, some gooseberry compote. And just the whole dish is very refreshing, really summery, really light.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's a good example of how you concoct dishes, isn't it? It's a good example of how you're quite well known for taking ingredients that you know, at first glance, you go, gooseberries and mackerel. How did they ever end up in the same plate? But in one bite, it becomes quite obvious that, yes, of course, there's an oiliness that's cut by a tartness, that kind of thing. I get the impression that it's just so much fun for you to create these kind of menus.
Yeah, so much fun. And like I say, I think I say this every time a season starts, but summer is great. There's just all the berries and all the mushrooms that are starting. It's just endless. I'm sure I'll say the same when autumn begins, because it's the game season and all the root vegetables are coming in.
Yeah.
But I do get really excited at summertime. And yes, you're absolutely right. I do try and sort of push the boundaries slightly with combinations. And I think that's another thing that people really enjoy about here when they come to eat dine with us, is that because the menu is small, it will push them to suddenly order something that they would maybe be reluctant to order in a different restaurant. And I've had many guests say, yeah, you made me sort of go outside my comfort zone, and it's great because I've loved everything tonight, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah.
And it's such a great way, I think, to educate people about their own food. And, you know, for people coming into Scotland, for people who are coming on holiday, the sort of things I always sort of encourage people to do is to just think a little bit outside any of the tourist thing you see. Look a little bit beyond the restaurants that, you know, are known for certain things that you might expect from Scotland in the older times. And just look for, you know, these newer restaurants and newer chefs, because there's a Scotland out there and there's a food out there that is just so incredible in the simplest possible way that I think that's what we're so proud to share with other people, I think. You know, that's the thing that you want people to come into Scotland and leave going, oh my God, the food is just so incredible.
Absolutely, yeah. No, you know, everyone comes anyway and sort of gets taken aback by the country itself because it is stunning.
Yeah.
And then, like you say, they really are starting to hopefully really realise that we've got everything at our fingertips.
Everything.
And, yeah.
Now, you're going to have it a bit easier at your fingertips in just a month or so, because you are, in fact, moving, opening a slightly larger place, and then this one, this lovely space in Leith, will remain but just have a different incarnation, isn't that right?
That's, yeah, completely right. Currently, we actually have a food truck down Portobello Promenade, where I've got two fantastic chefs that are cooking pretty much predominantly on barbecues. And they're just doing lots of sort of flatbreads and fresh. They've always got oysters on the menu, obviously Scottish. They're going to be moving up into here, and we're opening up a restaurant called Eleanor. Mm-hmm. And the concept of what they're doing down there will be the same up here, but obviously a little bit more dressed up, because, well, for starters, it'll be on plates, not in a cardboard box, which they're delighted about.
Yes, it tastes slightly.
It does. And it just suddenly, the appearance just becomes a little bit more, a bit more refined, obviously. But the idea behind Eleanor is obviously delicious, sort of quite tasty food, obviously. But we want it to be, we're actually changing. Right now, we've got everything's low dining, apart from the bar, which overlooks the kitchen. We're changing everything to high top seats. And it'll have a more casual feel. It'll be a little bit faster turnaround. And there'll be a really big influence on the wine. It's going to be a restaurant and wine bar. So,
which is your husband Sean's forte. That's his.
He knows a wee bit. And we've just employed an amazing lady called Joanna, who is currently working with us, just so we can get her sort of trained up to how we like to run things. And she'll be running Eleanor. But her wine knowledge is fantastic too. And actually, her background is drinks. And before Joanna came on board, we were not exactly winging it with the drinks, but we were definitely staying a lot safer with our offerings. And she has just turned things around. And it's just, it's really interesting watching her create new drinks because she'll make shrubs. She's obviously very seasonal as well. And I'm making, I mean, elderflowers are in season right now. Sure. I'm making elderflower cordials for her. Blackcurrant leaf as well. That's, I got lots of blackcurrant leaves in the day and dehydrated them all and have made a cordial out of that, which she's really quite keen to use. And I actually, right now, I've got a spruce tip caramel custard tart.
Wow.
On the menu. And I also made a cordial out of the spruce tips. And they're, I think they're from up in the north of Scotland. And it's the first time that I've used them. And honestly, like, it's my new favourite find.
What is the flavour? Is it minty? Is it what
no,
is it?
No, it's really citrusy.
Ah, citrusy.
It's really interesting. It's like, it does have a floral aspect to it, but like, lemon works so well, or orange, that would be really good combinations to add with it. So it's the custard tart, and then we're just serving a really fresh ricotta ice cream. Sorry, no, buttermilk ice cream. Just some little dices of orange and grapefruit just to have continue on that kind of citrusy, zingy.
And clean.
And clean. Really, really clean. Yeah.
How gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's so evident that you're having so much fun doing what you're doing. It's really awesome. I'm sure anybody who joins your team in the next year or two are going to be just flying high as you continue, you and Sean, with what you're doing. It's such a pleasure to chat with you. I just can see that you're headed in it. Just represented Scotland in such a great way, which is really, really wonderful. And I hope that, you know, everybody who's listening, if you find yourselves in this beautiful country, then come and seek out Chef Roberta and her team. Thank you so much for taking this little bit of time with us. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. We're going to, of course, have accompanying this little podcast all the details about the restaurant. You'll be able to find how to get there. You'll be able to look at menus. And if I remember, you'll be able to look at some pictures as well. So thanks for being with us. I'm Jo McGarry. We'll see you next time on Radio Mode. Thanks for being with us. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast brought to us by Pieology Pizzeria in Hawaii. Join us next time on Radio Mojo. And if you want to find out more about what we do, go check out our website, mojomcgarry.com. We'd love to see you there. Bye.